Thanks for being a part of this amazing course. We just discussed the last session about these treasures we've been given in Christ, that God has eulogized us, and there is an inherent sense of praise in that eulogy. Imagine receiving praise from God before you do anything. He's blessed us in Christ. Listen, it's no longer a matter of who you are. It's where you are. You are in Christ. Say those words, I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
That is your identity. You are wrapped into Jesus Christ. All that He is, you now are. Everything that's true about Jesus can be spoken about you because you are in Him. This is your eternal position. Two words you need to understand is position and condition. Your position is changeless, it's perfect, it can never be improved upon, it is eternal. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ. 11 times in this first chapter, Paul says you are in Him. Isn't that exciting? That there's a grace glasses God wears. He looks at you through the lens of being in Christ. Never look at yourself apart from Christ, because God never does. God never sees you apart from Christ. He sees you wrapped into Christ. So the blessings have come because you are now joined in vital union with Him. So our position can never be changed. It can never be improved upon. It's perfect. It's eternal. But we don't always live that way, do we? That is our condition. Our condition is up and down at times. It's not a straight line in advance. It's more like three steps forward, two steps back. We do the, we love Him with all our heart one day, and the next day, we don't even want to talk about it. And that working out of our emotional and spiritual and soulish areas of our life until we are consumed with Christ, that's our condition. Now, when your condition matches your position, you will walk through walls, you'll be transported instantly to different locations around the world. You will begin to see yourself with the DNA of Jesus Christ, a look-alike partner, the bridal partner of Christ that is fully in life union with Him. The goal of eternity is to bring your condition into your position. And to use the terms of the Shulamite in the Song of Songs, arise my love and come away. And I've already placed you, Song of Songs 2:14, I've already placed you in the secret stairway of the sky. So He's asking us to come where He's already put us. I've already seated you in the hidden stairway. So arise and come with me, my love. Come with me and let me take you where I have put you. Isn't that great? You don't have to climb a dark mountain trail. He just, in grace, He's already placed you there. So everything you have in Christ is to change your life and to make you into a different person. So guess what's going to happen starting around verse 17. Paul's going to pray that your condition begins to match your position, and that the exceeding greatness of God's power that raised Christ from the dead will raise you up in your thinking and in your life, so that you will see yourself and begin to implement and walk in the fullness of your inheritance. Wow, this is only verse 3. We got to keep moving. I'm not the only person that's seen a correlation between the book of Joshua and the book of Ephesians. The Old Testament book of Joshua is the New Testament book of Ephesians in a preview. They were blessed with every earthly blessing in the land of Canaan under Joshua. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So they had an earthly, we have a spiritual. Now they had a spiritual too. I'm not trying to make a huge dichotomy, but Abraham was told to count the stars and to number the grains of sand. One is an earthly seed, the other is a heavenly seed. Did you catch it?
Yes.
He was told to get out of his tent, which is our human frame, our own mindset, and count the stars. That's how many descendants, heavenly descendants, there will be, Abraham, And then he was told to count the grains of sand, and that's how many earthly descendants. So, wow, Abraham had many sons, Father Abraham. Which is really a huge practical joke, because he and his wife were barren, and he named him father of a multitude. And they had no kids. How's that? Being told your destiny and everything in your life looks like it'll never happen. God loves to do that. He tells you your destiny a decade or two or three before it even comes to pass. And your destiny is totally different than your natural situation. Oh my. He just loves, God is like, he's awesome. He has Genesis 1 on his resume. I mean, his bio is awesome. Oh my. All right, let's get right into verse 4. In verse 4, it says that God chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Beloved, are you hearing this? He chose you before he made you. This is so full of spiritual treasures, this one verse. He chose us to be his very own, and he joined us to himself. He made us one with Christ. This in Christ position was before the universe came to being. Prior to Genesis 1:1, you were in Christ from before the foundation of the universe. You were in his mind. The dream of God was not to have stars and galaxies and what the Hubble's just now discovering and Grand Canyon and the forest fields and trees. No, that's the tapestry. That's the canvas. The dream of God is you. He chose you to be his very own, and then he made the world and the cosmos around it. So the creative power of Genesis 1 can only be understood when you understand you are the one chosen to be his very own. Not somebody else to the right or left, you. Chosen. Oh my. The word chosen is eklegomai. E-K. L-E-G-O-M-A-I. Eklegomai has in the middle of it the form of the word logos. E-K, ek, is the prefix that means out of. Okay, out of or from. And logos, and my becomes possessive, it becomes his own. So God chose you to be a word sent from his mouth. So before he spoke, let there be light, he spoke you. And he destined you to be his. This is such a mystery. You were chosen before the universe was set in place to be a word sent from his mouth that will not return to him void. You will accomplish everything that he's destined you and desired and wished for you to accomplish. You are the replica of Jesus Christ on the earth. And he put the logos in you. It's like the word is being made flesh again in you. And you're going to fulfill your destiny. God likes to pull it off at 11:59. You know, it's so funny. It says, in the fullness of time. Well, the fullness of time for me is whenever I want it. That's the fullness of time. But God has a fullness of time where he has invisible things he's putting in place and orchestrating. He's setting things in motion for your destiny that you know nothing about. And in the fullness of time, they all come together, just like Joseph came out of the prison. In the fullness of time, he went from like being a despised prisoner, falsely tormented, into becoming the number two guy in the universe, ruling the world. Savior of the world, he was called, because he did indeed save the world. Through his exaltation, Joseph becomes a picture of Christ. And your life, when we replay the DVD, or let's get it up to speed here, when we do the vidcast or we download the video of your life, and you see all the pieces coming together, you're in heaven and all the pieces coming together, you're going to be shocked how the right people at the right time came into your life to speak the right word, and there was so much more of right. You thought you're a Job when in fact you're a prince with God. You're the Shulamite lover. And they may have meant it for evil, but God means it for good. So this choosing of you before he laid the foundation of the world. Now, there's an interesting Greek nuance here. The word for foundation, and to lay the foundation, and the word for the fall of Adam, it's the same word. So there's a sense in which he's saying before he laid the foundation of the world, which can also be translated before Adam's fall. Before the fall of the world, you were chosen. He selected you. Now this brings to our attention a doctrine, a teaching that's known as election, or the doctrine of selection. The doctrine of election is really simple. God cast a vote for you, the devil cast a vote for you, and you cast a vote for God. Therefore, you are elected. I don't know how to make it any simpler. Maybe we could illustrate it this way. Here is a door, and you're going to come through this door, and on the outside of the door, it says, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, let him come freely and drink of the water of life. Whosoever will come and believe in Christ. And you open the door, and you get eternal life. And you shut the door and you look around at the backside of the door and it says chosen before the foundation of the world. You have been elected. It is a beautiful teaching that has been distorted at times and misunderstood, but God chose you, folks. You've been blessed. You've been chosen. We're only in verse 4. You're a word sent from his mouth. You've been eulogized by God Almighty. Everything heaven contains is lavished upon you. You've got the black MasterCard, the one that, you know, no limit, folks. You don't apply for it. They will offer that to you when your net worth is so many million. I've seen it. I know some friends that have that black card. Of course, I always have them buy dinner when we go out. I think you can swing it. Yeah. But you have an unlimited resource. Your home equity line is like there's no end to your line of credit. I'm trying to help you out of your depression a little bit. And it says that he chose us. Why? Because we are really good people. He knew he was getting something special when he got me. And it says he chose us because of his love. In his love, it's all about him, isn't it? Because he wanted to express this love, he chose you. He orchestrated your birth. Many of you in this room have supernatural activity around your birth, and you should really go and try to search it out a little bit. Some of you were to be aborted. Some of you, the enemy tried to take you out in your mother's womb. You're a supernatural child with a supernatural birth, with a supernatural destiny and a supernatural calling and a supernatural blessing operating in your life. So from start to finish, everything about you has been chosen by God to complete and fulfill your task. You are in this course and you're taking this course here with us in this session so that you will forever understand that your identity is so awesome, that you are forever chosen, forever loved, that you are forever blessed. You know, listen, God's will is not lost. It's not like lost and found. Has anybody seen God's will? I like to tell people, it's almost impossible for you to get out of the will of God. Please listen real quick. It is so near to impossible for you to get out of God's will. Because the will of God is not a location. It's a relationship. And you can love him where you're at. no matter where you're at. On a cross, dying next to Jesus. In a prison cell, chained to Paul. In an unfulfilled marriage, in a difficult financial situation. You can love Him where you're at. And where you're at will change if you love Him. Love has a power to bring all things together and produce good. Love has that power. The greatest force in the universe is the love of God. Because it turns evil into good. Evil is always overcome with good. So because of His great love, He ordained us as one with Christ from the beginning. So as an eternal decree, God set you apart and said, "This one is mine. I choose you. I take you. I'm going to set you in my kingdom and in my body and in my bridal company. I'm going to make sure that you hear the gospel, you respond to the gospel by faith in me, and because I've included you in the triune glory before you were even born." Folks, you are surrounded by the Trinity. Forget the angels. You're in Christ, and Christ is in the Father, and the Father is in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in Christ, and the Spirit's in me. And folks, welcome to the triune glory. You cannot get higher than being in the Trinity, than being included and being wrapped around and surrounded with the triune glory. And that started before you blinked an eyelid, or you took a breath, or your heart beat in your chest. You were chosen. You're selected forever to be His. Man. And the purpose of this, it says, that we would, because He ordained us, or preordained us, or predestined us. Predestined is simply to determine your destiny in advance. God has determined your destiny before you were made. And we're going to find in chapter 2 of verse 10 that you are the poetry of God. That He lyrically wrote a message to the cosmos with your life. And you're going to speak through your life that message to reform the cosmos. God predetermined that nothing would keep you from belonging to the Father. He destined you to be one with Christ before He made you. That's really good for inferiority issues, you know. What? I'm part of the chosen ones, just like Israel was chosen, just like Abraham was chosen, just like Isaac was chosen, and Joseph was chosen, and Moses was chosen, and Elijah was chosen. You've been chosen. John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you and chosen you to go and bring fruit, and a fruit that will last forever." It will remain, it will abide, and you'll be blessed, and your life will be a blessing. Come on, sons of Abraham. Amen. You are a blessing on two legs. You're a walking mercy seat. You carry like Mary. You dispense the divine. God cannot put into you any more than you already carry. It's just the revelation that has to fall into place. The Tetris. You know, you got to get it. Oh, it fits. That's who I really am. I'm not struggling to get God's attention. I'm the fiancé of Jesus. I'm the lookalike partner to the Son of God. It's like the Trinity's making room for us. And something mystical, glorious, mysterious is happening. In the romance of the ages, God became a man so He could be a bridegroom to a people made in His image. He wants you to be seen as holy in His eyes with an unstained innocence. The word unstained is amomos. It's taken from the Hebraic concept of an unblemished sacrifice ready to be offered. Our unstained innocence and living with no moral defect enables us to be living sacrifices for the glory of God. All of this because God chose us to be united to Jesus. Verse 5 and 6 says, "It was always in His perfect plan to adopt us Now, the word adoption is, and I have a footnote here in the text regarding the word adoption, because that signifies something in English in our Western culture that is not true of the Greek culture in which Paul perhaps was writing. Adoption in that sense, the biblical sense of adoption, is to be fully placed and established with all the rights of a mature son. So you came into the kingdom as a mature son carrying the rights of kingdom authority. That he would, he chose us and then he adopted us, which means he chose us and then he fully established us as his mature child. And as his mature one, we get all of the benefits of the household. We get everything daddy's got. We got the keys to the Porsche, we got the keys to the house, and you got the PIN code to the ATM. P-R-A-I-S-E. That opens up every door. You praise him. That opens the door, doesn't it? So his perfect plan, his predestination. By the way, predestination is proizo, P-R-O-O-I-Z-O. I want you to write this down because it's so important. What predestined means is that he has marked out the horizon. It is the word horizon. It's the Greek word for horizon. So God has horizoned us. He has already set the horizon of where you're going to go, what you're going to be. You may not yet be at that horizon, probably not, nor I. But he has determined ahead of time you will reach that horizon. Isn't that good? So don't settle for a false finish line. Don't let the enemy delude you into thinking that you're where you need to be. No, your finish line is way, way past where you think it is. You're going to look like Jesus, folks. The fullness of Christ is in you. That means you're going to heal everyone you lay hands on. That means multitudes are going to be blessed by your ministry, and that the fullness of Christ, fullness, 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 is going to come through you. So don't settle for anything less than the predetermined horizon God has for your ministry and your life. Awesome. The horizon has been set. Fully revealed as sons and daughters, bring us to maturity. It says, as his delightful children, through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, he set us in place so that his tremendous grace that cascades over us would bring him glory. Wow. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. He doesn't love Jesus more than he loves you. Let's say it better. The same way he loves Jesus is how he loves you. He's in too deep to pull out now. He's invested everything in you, folks. You're going to reach your destiny. You're going to be the full image of Jesus. The Father loves the Son so much, he's going to fill the earth with people just like him. He's the perfect pattern son. And he brings many other sons to glory. Your destiny is to be glorified, co-glorified with Christ. You already are in the heavenly realm. But your condition has to catch up with your position. Your position is perfect. Your condition is in motion. Verse 7, since we are now joined to Christ, we've been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of all our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. The Greek word for redemption means ransomed, rescued, delivered by paying a price. What was the price paid for our ransom? $1 million? $1 billion. What was it? Something more glorious than that. It was the blood of Christ. One drop of sacred blood has the power to ransom a planet. Billions of souls. One drop of that sacred blood is enough to set free an entire race of humanity. Wow. And you've been sprinkled with blood. Ha. Your conscience has been cleansed by that blood. You're squeaky clean. You can't be more clean and more perfect and more righteous in God's eyes. The blood of Jesus has transferred all of Christ's righteousness onto you. You carry like Mary. You carry the divine within you. The glory is upon you. And all that Jesus is now your destiny. Everything you love about Jesus is who you will be. We can't settle for plateaus. You know, like Peter wanted to build 3 tabernacles on the wrong place. There's more people. There's a higher place that we must go to. The Greek word for cancel, he's canceled our sins, is the word to send away, to set free from bondage. We could use the word forgiveness. By the way, your sins are not under the blood. They're not under anything. They're gone. G-O-N-E, gone. How far do you think the east is from the west? That's how far he's taken your sins from you. They're not under something. They're not covered. They're gone. The Old Testament covered sins. The animal blood covered sins for a year, and then it had to be re-sacrificed all over again to cover it for the next year. So every year they're reminded that their sins are still there. We are reminded every year that God remembers our sins no more. He doesn't have a memory of our sin. He treats you like he would treat his son on the sea of glass standing before him. He sees the destiny of Christ in you. Everything he is, you are in him. More near to God I could not be. For in the person of his son, I'm as near as he. More dear, so very dear to God, more dear I cannot be. For in the person of his son, I am as dear as he. You can laugh at my poetry, but I like it. Verse 8, and we'll close. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. So grace activates and empowers our soul. It continues to fill our lives with everything we need. The grace that brings redemption is the grace that brings wisdom. And all forms of wisdom and all aspects of practical understanding. Solomon described 7 pillars of wisdom, while Jacob or James describes the 7 adjectives of wisdom. First, pure, then peaceable, then gentle and easy to be corrected. And he describes the 7 pillars of wisdom that builds the house of God. So we have all forms of wisdom, every practical understanding we need for strategy, for business, for family, for finances, for investment, how to raise children, how to change a nation. We have all forms of wisdom and practical understanding because of the glorious blood and grace of Jesus Christ. I can't wait to tell you about the inheritance and the Holy Spirit, what he's done for us. We'll be right back.